I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
So before they signee died, we want to know what they signee did. That's at the legislature. A lot of recapping and looking back. Why? Because, man, it's a flurry, right? 90-day legislative session. It's gone just like that. There's a lot of work. There's a record number of bills. We'll continue talking about it here and the outcome of certain bills in particular. I'll tell you who we got lined up a bit later on. First, we're going to go back, though, and look at this session from the age-friendly perspective. Mike Batista will join us here, and we'll look ahead, too, and see what's left on the table for Montana to accomplish. Let's get to our topic du jour for the day, and let's welcome Mike Batista, the government liaison specialist for Montana's AARP Montana, and a guy who's been around that capital for a lot of years. But when they signed he died, Mike, did you bolt?
Yeah, I had one foot out the door. Although, you know, it was interesting, Tom. It was a little bit of a surprise. They ended early, yeah, as you know, and a couple of things were sort of left unaddressed, or at least the House accepted, you know, the Senate's work on a couple of key bills. And so there were a couple of key pieces of our legislation that we were hoping that would cross the finish line, but didn't happen. But overall, I think like every person that does government affairs work, we were ready to be done.
Yeah, and there was a lot said about perhaps the early close for the Senate. What was left on the table? Were there things that that had been tracking through the legislature for a long time? Are they just teed up for the next session? What was left off the plate, and what's the fate of those?
Yeah, I think you know there was some money left. I think that the Senate, in fact, the Senate Majority Leader talked about that when they decided to end their work. There was some surplus money and some rebate tax rebate things that didn't get accomplished. From our perspective, there was a really good study bill where people decided that, you know, we really need to look at this long-term care system in the state. You know, we dumped a lot of money into the provider rate increases for nursing homes and assisted living and in-home care, but we really don't have a real good long-term care plan in place in the state that we can sort of follow that's our North Star. And so I think that we would have liked to have seen that pass, and that the interim committee would have done some work on that and solicited, you know, the advice of a lot of people that do work for the older population here in Montana.
What would are there real good long-term care plans in place in other states, and are they codified in one sort of area, or do they stretch across kind of multiple disciplines?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. So there are states that have a pretty comprehensive long-term care plan, and you know, they make adjustments as they need to. And some of them are codified in state law, and others are something that the administration has put together. I'm real confident that this administration sort of has a good conceptual idea of where they want to go with long-term care plans. Just sort of putting it down and getting input from some of the stakeholders, I think that it is really critical, because, you know, it remains to be seen as to whether or not the $88 million that was put into the Medicaid reimbursement rates, you know, what that does in terms of workforce development, what that does in terms of stabilizing that industry. Because I think, you know, it was said time and time again during the session that, you know, maybe a new business model is needed. Will some of that money be used to sort of work out that new business model? And I think here in Montana, just the workforce development you know, is a critical issue. And I'm curious as to where that $88 million is going to be spent. Will it be spent, sort of for infrastructure, for salary increases, which are probably needed for the people that take care of older Montanans? And then how is that dispersed? How much goes to nursing home? How much to assisted living? And to one of our preferences that we've talked about several times, in-home health care. What does that look like? Do they get some of that money to sort of build that out for the future?
Well, and that's where I'm going to go. Mike Batista is with us, AARP Montana, government affairs liaison. And again, a long time. I don't have it in front of me, sir, and I apologize for that. But a Department of Corrections official for how long was it?
Yeah, 4 years and then 20 years with the Division of Criminal Investigation.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And then Drug Enforcement Administration as well.
And so I want to get into public safety stuff, too, because I know our seniors have expressed some concerns about that. But to kind of finish up here, when you talk about the changing business model, perhaps, we have talked here how we're trying to do more and more. You mentioned it in home care. Are there models out there? Who is leading the way? Who has found at least an avenue which is a good mix of more concentrated nursing home care and then in-home community services?
Yeah, interestingly enough, when you talk to people at the department and you talk to some of the people that we know that have been to the facility, maybe surprisingly or not surprisingly, that I think a good model is Eagle Shield in Browning. Hmm. Eagle Shield in Browning is a facility that takes care of housing needs for seniors. It takes care of all those transitional things from assisted living care to in-home care. It's got a senior center where even if you don't stay at Eagle Shield and you're a member of the community and you're an older member of the reservation there, you go there for meals, you go there for social engagement. It's a pretty good model. And, I think it's something that, we sort of look at as we develop out, what a new model. And I think for nursing homes and assisted living facilities, I think there may be some things that can be learned by how Eagle Shield addresses and takes care of their seniors.
Yeah, that's cool. I appreciate that. I'll kind of look into them. Do they have certain advantages? Are they controlled by the reservation? Do they what makes them or allows them to be special in this regard or in the front in this regard?
Yeah, I think what allows them to be special is sort of this all-inclusive approach. I mean, they take a look at their senior population and determine what those needs are, and they try and have those needs met by one facility. And you don't have to be on Medicaid to be able to receive the services. You can come in and get a meal, participate in their social activities. If you're an elderly person living on the reservation and you have no connection to the center makes their services and their resources available. And they do a really good job of doing outreach to find those people and determine what their needs are. So they're very proactive in how they go about it. And I've heard good reviews from everybody that has visited the facility and learned about their approach.
Good, good. I mean, that's encouraging too. Mike Batista again with us, Montana AARP Montana here on Voices of Montana. As I mentioned it, and I'm going to be playing some comments here from Danny DeLate, a former trooper in Montana. His son, David DeLate, killed in action, end of watch stuff. Montana passed a new end of watch law. And I was surprised, Mike, that we didn't have this on the books before. We were like one of five states. And what that does is it just provides a fund for the families to continue for a certain amount of time. Barry Usher went through this, Senator Barry Usher from southeastern Montana area, and described, Montana's plan is not the cream of the crop, nor is it near the bottom. It's kind of in the middle. That's a long time coming, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's a great bill, and very much needed here in the state. I'm, you know, as someone who worked in public safety for a lot of years and had the unpleasant task of visiting with families whose son or daughter has have been the victim and been killed in the line of duty. It is the as you described, it's the ultimate sacrifice, and it's a difficult job, and it's painful for the family for many, many years, and to sort of recognize that, honor the deceased and honor the family who shared in the sacrifice, and I think it's critically important.
I'm going to come back after a break, sir, and then talk more about the public safety measures. We had addressed them with Attorney General Austin Knutson. Had talked also with Brian Lockerbie, who I'm sure you're familiar with as well, head of the Criminal Division of Investigation. So they were happy to get some progress done. We'll get your assessment on that. We come on back with more of Mike Battista here on Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana, Tom Schultz alongside. As we're two decades strong and working on three, Mike Battista has had a hand in that. He's helping us work on our understanding of the legislature from the age-friendly perspective. Mike with AARP Montana, of course, as we'd note, too, 20 years in law enforcement, Department of Corrections official, too. Mike, thank you for your service there in that regard. Going back again into this, as I mentioned, and I, you know, people maybe have heard me say this once or twice at least, but in that conversation with Brian Lockerbie, who's with the Criminal Division of Investigation, he's the one... And a very well-respected law enforcement official with a lot of years. But he's the one, when his law enforcement officers don't have resources, they're going to look at him and go, we need more labor here. We need more help here. We need this there. Thankfully, the legislature at least opened up the, I don't know how you want to put that, the pocketbook in some ways, but it was very needed. We're seeing... just I don't know if you want to say the rise in crime, because those statistics are they vary from area, and it's hard to say we're seeing a rise in crime, but we're seeing that in many areas. The difficulty of law enforcement today. Did the legislature do some favors for our law enforcement officers?
Yeah, I think the legislature did a good job in sort of stepping up and recognizing the challenges that law enforcement is facing. You know, not only on the drug front, but on white collar crime, on the training, on some of the criminal justice indices that need to be upgraded. All those things I think are real critical in keeping a strong, well trained law enforcement workforce. And I think they did a really nice job. Brian's a good administrator. He's a friend of mine. He's done a good job in taking the reins and sort of walking the legislature through some of the demands that law enforcement currently faces, and I think they're tough. You're right, Tom. The crime stats don't always tell the entire story of what's going on in communities and what it takes to keep communities safe. And I think that story needs to be told time and time again of the challenges. You know, there's always a lot of news when law enforcement folks do something that people think was inappropriate. There's not as much news as to all the good things that are done and all the challenges that law enforcement face. It at times can seem overwhelming, particularly on the drug front. You feel like you're barely making any impact, when the reality is you are probably making a bigger impact than you realize.
Yeah. How in tune is our age-friendly crowd to public safety measures? I mean, I think we have an overall sense of feeling safe in our homes, but I suppose that's a crumbling structure depending on what happens outside our homes. I'm not sure if I asked that right, but, you know, what are they looking for?
Yeah, you know, I think in terms of someone that works with the older Montana population, and we've seen this around the country. I mean, when we do surveys, not only do a lot of the issues that you and I've talked about float to the surface, but there is always reference to the fear of crime with older members of the community, and they tend to be much vulnerable. They seem to be people that are targeted, particularly on white collar crime, as you know.
Right.
But just sort of the day-to-day stuff, going to the park. I mean, is there appropriate lighting at parks? Are there appropriate lighting in communities to help sort of give, older Montanans a sense of feeling, an opportunity to feel safe? But I think they're well aware and very concerned about crime issues in their community, how it's being addressed, and recognizing how vulnerable they are and educating to them to ways to make themselves less vulnerable.
What do you think was accomplished in terms of, and I'll be speaking with Senator Greg Hertz here next week. There was a bill, a Senate Bill 550, I think it contained some language, a lot of language there, but this was for medical savings accounts. A comment on that, but what do you think was done on the medical front in this 68th session that's going to help seniors?
So I think they were a good thing. The reality is, a lot of our focus was on pocketbook issues. Mm-hmm. We weighed in on some of the health issues, but particularly we decided, this time around, given inflation, given the economic challenges that people have, we focused on tax issues, focused on housing issues. And Senator Hertz, who you mentioned, had a good bill on a housing bill that passed. So those were our focuses. I'm not really sure, quite honestly, on that particular bill. I'm having a hard time recalling the details of that particular bill.
It's just a small section in there that I think allowed some of those mission insurance companies or services to be deducted from medical savings accounts. There was another aspect of that as well. Just utilizing outside of the box ways, I think, of trying to give people some options when it comes to their medical care.
Sure. If anybody's going to think outside the box, it's going to be Senator Hertz. He seems to do that on a number of fronts, and he's very effective.
Yeah, he is, and he's. You were watching the session. He had his hand in a lot of things, didn't he?
Boy, he did. Yeah. He did. He and Representative Mercer, I think, were the busiest two guys at the session.
What else do you think? I mean, I'm going to take you to about 32 or 33 here, Mike. Maybe if there's anything you wanted to look back on and get out there, please do. Maybe we take a look ahead here at this point too.
Yeah, just briefly looking back at the session, we went into it, like, as I said, wanting to focus on pocketbook issues because that was important to our membership. The housing issues, there were some things addressed on the housing front. And, it's like everything, these bills get passed and you're really hopeful given, the language of the bill and sort of what the concept looks like. The tricky part becomes the implementation of what that looks like. And I'm hopeful that as we implement these, the housing situation changes for the better in Montana, particularly, more affordable housing is available. There were some really good things done on the tax front, even though some sort of long-term relief, I think is probably something that we may see next session, hopefully here in Montana. Mm-hmm. But I think the tax rate, the tax rebates, were things that our membership certainly appreciated, and we were very supportive of that. And like I said, I think the long-term care situation has gained some traction, and now how that's implemented and what that looks like is something that we'll continue to follow. I think looking forward for us and our members, we're looking forward to the 2024 elections and having an opportunity to get our issues out front of those people that are running for office. We do that every time there's an election. We get out front of that and start educating people about our issues. We'll continue this summer. I'll be spending a lot of time traveling around Montana, talking to the city mayors, town council members about sort of the age-friendly communities, which you know a lot about, given, mm-hmm. the conference you're at in Kalispell. We'll continue to sort of focus on that You know, a big push will be on caregiving, just what that looks like here in the United States, how many people that are impacted by that, how can we help them out? Are there tax credit things that can be done for people that are family caregivers? Are there other options? And then, as you know, one of the sort of meat and potato issues for AARP has always been fraud and abuse. And we're really good at sort of doing the outreach and educating people about the latest scams and things going on that have a negative impact on Montana's older population. So we'll continue to do that. I'm really looking forward to all those things. They're all good issues. And I love interacting with older Montanans. They have a lot of knowledge and they're a lot of fun, and they're just gold.
Yeah. There was measures, I think, to encourage volunteerism of our seniors into childcare facilities. If I recall, did that pass?
I'm glad you brought that out, because one of the things when I mentioned that Eagle Shield Care Center up in Browning, is that's another one of the approaches they take is that they really sort of try and blend the younger population with the older population, so they can sort of learn from each other. We have a number of AARP programs around the country where younger people are educating older folks on how to use technology and how to walk through some of those things. And the same can be said for, you know, younger people learning from the older population. Mm-hmm. But I think that's really critical. And that blending is done up in Eagle Shield. And there are other places where that's being done in Bozeman. They are looking sort of at a community center that brings all age populations together, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for your service. Both in the public and in chatting with us here too, and keeping us up to date on that. I believe an awful lot in one of the things that AARP professes, and that is if we are really concerned about building our communities in an age-friendly way, then we're taking care of everything from, from childcare all the way on to nursing home living, too.
Absolutely, yeah. What's good for an 8-year-old is good for an 80-year-old.
Yeah. Well, that's a better way to – I'm going to use that then, if I may. What time is your tea time?
It is coming up here at 9:45.
All right. Get out there and smack it around and have some fun, sir. I appreciate it.
Sounds good, Tom. You take care.
You too. That's Mike Batista, AARP Montana.